There's nothing like the view from the cheap seats.
It's now time for the cheap seats here on K-Country 95. Here's your host, Hayden Savage.
Well, here we go with the first episode of The Cheap Seats here on Anywhere, Anytime, K-Country 95. We have got a lot to cover. We've got college football from last week in the playoffs. We've got NFL football coming up for all of you guys today. And then we've also got NFL coming up on Sunday. We've got a lot to talk about. We'll talk to Zach Arnes from ESPN Arkansas over in Fayetteville. We will talk about Sam Pittman and his new job as head hog for the Razorbacks football team. And we've got a lot to cover here on The Cheap Seats, so make sure you keep it right here. We've got a lot to talk about, a lot to interest. I'm Hayden Savage, and we will be right back here on the first episode of The Cheap Seats. We will talk to Zach Arnes from ESPN Arkansas right up next.
Go Tigers!
All right, we are back here on The Cheap Seats here on K-Country 95, and I'm joined with a member from Ruskin and Zach, which airs from 3 to 7 on ESPN Arkansas. Good to have you here.
Well, I appreciate you having me. It's been kind of a busy 24 hours.
Yeah, that is for sure. So let's go ahead and get right to it. Arkansas has finalized their deal with Sam Pittman, the offensive line coach from Georgia. Not as big name, I guess, that you could call it. Some fans are calling it big name. Some fans are not very happy with the hire. What is your personal opinion of the man?
Well, we've been hearing his name for a couple of weeks, and he's very, very well respected within the industry. I've talked to a number of coaches that have coached with him, coached against him. He is a lifelong college football coach. And I think when we started talking about the job on our show, you know, we laid out basically five qualifications. One of them was, can you recruit to the University of Arkansas, and can you rebuild a program? I've said all along that this program needs a stabilizer, somebody to come in and kind of set the foundation. He's been here before. He's recruited here before. He's done very well here in recruiting. So that part of it made sense. The part that doesn't quite make sense to me, anyway, is that you've got a guy who has no prior Division I coaching experience. He was a two-year coach in junior college and had mixed results there, but he's been the associate head coach at Georgia for a couple of years now. He's kind of seen how the top programs run. It's a curious hire. It feels like a fallback hire, but, you know, he's not going to lose a game till November, or till September of next year, so he's got some time to sort of see how this goes. And, you know, by all accounts and everybody that I've talked to that's in the industry, he's pretty well respected, and they all think he's going to do real well.
All right. Well, like you mentioned, Pittman has been at Arkansas before, and he knows how the system works there in Fayetteville. You think he can build that offensive line to what it used to be whenever he was there?
It's going to be one of the first areas that they need to address, along with the quarterback situation. I mean, the offensive line was horrible last year, and there's no way to sugarcoat what we saw. And, you know, his specialty is the run game. And people have asked me over the last 24 hours, well, what's the offense going to look like? I keep saying, look at Georgia. That's probably where they're headed. It's going to be bigger offensive linemen. Where Chad Morris wanted to slim his linemen down, make them more athletic, I think Sam Pittman's going to build them up and make them bigger. It should look like a hybrid between Georgia and what you had at Arkansas before. He's going to value the running game, and I think that's something that they have to. Now, they've got to settle, you know, the offensive line quarter. I mean, there's so many areas that you got to put a Band-Aid on. And he's got a lot to do between now and Nevada when they open up next year. And that schedule at the beginning of next year is a killer. So he's going to have to hit the ground running. He's going to have to get into the recruiting trails and make some inroads on some guys. I think the earliest signing period is probably lost. But after everybody signs in December, you kind of recalibrate, figure out who's left, and then go get some guys.
That's exactly right. And I mean, talking about Chad Morris building that line or slimming them down, like you mentioned, I remember watching the national championship game whenever Georgia and Alabama played. They were talking about that Georgia line being bigger than some of the NFL players.
Yeah, and Chad Morris had an interesting philosophy, and guys that I've talked to in the coaching industry have said, you know, normally when you take over a total rebuild, you build inside out, meaning you build on the lines of scrimmage and then build outwards towards your skill players. Chad Morris went the exact opposite way. And obviously, it failed miserably. 4-18. I mean, there's no arguing that it failed. I think Sam Pittman will probably build it the exact opposite. It's going to be linemen, 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 and then you go to your skill players. You know, I've talked to a lot of player personnel guys in the NFL, and, I mean, they tell me almost to a man that they have one NFL player on that roster right now, and they're not even sure he's an NFL player, and that's Treylon Burks. Outside of that, you're dealing with guys that are not draftable prospects as they sit. Said for years that Arkansas needs to be in the player development business, Boise State's model. Two stars become three stars when they leave. Three stars, four stars, and four stars, five stars by the time they leave. Arkansas hasn't done that. They're not going to get a ton of four- and five-star guys. You're not going to get the Alabama-style recruiting classes. You've got to be able to get guys on campus, project forward, develop them, and then by the time they're in their fourth and fifth years, they're very, very productive players. And that's something that Arkansas has not done in a very long time, and I think they need to get back to it. Stop shooting for the stars, you know, trying to get the five-star guys. Get the three-star guys that will be five-stars by the time they leave.
I exactly agree with that right there. We're talking with a member from Ruskin and Sack, which airs on Arkansas ESPN from 3 to 7 p.m. Now, talking about Chad Morris and how he slimmed up that line, like we just mentioned. Chad Morris, there's a lot of rumors flying around. And, I mean, yes, we fired Morris 2 years later, but Morris was not going anywhere with the program. And I think Hunter Yurecek, athletic director at Arkansas, finally woke up and realized, we've got to get something going. We're not filling seats. We're not filling chairs. And we had to do something different. And I think Arkansas fans, I think the biggest tweet that I've seen this year is going to be, Arkansas is going to have to stick with their man for 4 years and be happy with what they see.
Yeah, there's nowhere to go now. I mean, you fired two coaches in, what, 24 months?
And I mean, Arkansas's financial stake.
For a while. And you know, the next big step in Arkansas's evolution here is who are you going to get as your coordinator? There's a lot of names being thrown around. But if you go in, and we were just talking about it here just in our pre-show meeting, Barry Odom, the former Missouri coach, is rumored to come down to Arkansas. That's a great hire if you can get Barry Odom as your defensive coordinator. Well, now you've got to get a guy of equal value on the offensive side. And that's where I think I think that's where they're going to struggle. One of the, you know, one sitting head coach in college football told me, Sam Pittman knows a lot of guys, but can you get them to come to Fayetteville, Arkansas, to try and do this whole rebuild, given the volatility with the program at the moment? I mean, it's seen as a job that is not very stable, and it's not a place that's viewed that you can go in and win. Mike Norvell told me back in August, I asked him, I said, what do you look at when you go for a job, when you're looking at a job? He told me point blank, recruiting and roster. You have to have a good roster because that's going to tell you how early you can win. And then you've got to have a recruiting base to go pluck kids from. That's going to tell you how fast you can get out of the hole you're in. Arkansas doesn't have either of those at the moment. So it's going to be a long road back for this program.
All right, well, talking about Hunter Yurecek, the thing with Kiffin, I mean, that was nuts. Twitter was going crazy, and that Razorback Nation group on Facebook was going completely nuts. So do you think Arkansas really had Kiffin, or do you think Ole Miss, I mean, that was their man from point blank, or do you think that Hunter Yurecek was just blowing a smokescreen with this guy so he could get Georgia?
We were being told as early as Sunday of last week that Kiffin was not coming to the University of Arkansas, that there was interest from Hunter Yurecek, there was interest from Lane Kiffin, but it never really materialized into anything. And as the week went on, once Ole Miss became available, it was very, very clear that that was the school that posed the biggest threat, if you will. You know, the reports of a handshake agreement and all this stuff, I've never been able to confirm that. Nobody is telling me that it was a done deal. So once Ole Miss moved in, Ole Miss is a better football job as we sit here today. You can argue about, Oxford versus Fayetteville. You can argue about facilities and all that stuff. If you look at roster and recruiting, which is what every coach tells me is the most important thing when looking at a job, then you look at everything else. Roster and recruiting, Mississippi's a better job. It also probably fits Lane Kiffin a little bit better. You can win faster at Mississippi. He comes here, starts annoying people with his social media tweets. He's running around, running around Arkansas telling people how great you're going to be. Then you go 3-9. That's not going to wash. He can go 7-5 at Mississippi next year, and everybody will be happy. Then he just springboards from there. This job needs a more veteran coach, a more, as I like to say, all-ball coach. Look for Musselman and a visor. I think they got their guy. I think they got a guy that kind of fits the Hunter Yurecek profile, which is all the external stuff doesn't matter. Are you a football guy? Are you an analytics guy? That's what they were looking for.
All right, well, I'm going to throw two questions at you because I know you need to hurry up. But so let's start out. I think that fans can now trust Hunter Yurecek with this hire of Sam Pittman. I think Razorback fans finally trust him with Musselman. And then also, Have you heard the rumors going around Twitter that Morris really did divide the locker room there? We had rumors flying around whenever Morris first went to Arkansas about him dividing the locker rooms. Walk-ons were on one side and on the other side, and then he looked good on camera and would treat his players terribly off camera. So if you just answer those, and then that will do it for us.
You know, as far as the rumors go, it's hard to substantiate any of them. I know a lot of the kids on the team, and I've heard varying degrees. I know kids that think he was great. I know kids that, you know, just really didn't have anything to do with him, didn't know him. Guys that, you know, he was recruited by, that past the recruitment, he just didn't know them. So obviously there was some sort of disconnect in the locker room amongst the players. And I'm sure that, you know, if they were 18-4 instead of 4-18, you could probably get past it. The losing sort of made the problems more visible and worse. So a lot of that stuff, you know, you just kind of, you know, throw salt over your shoulders and say, don't worry about it, because at this point it really doesn't matter. Chad Morris has been removed as the head coach. Sam Pittman's come in. First thing he's got to do is start to massage some egos in that locker room. There's a lot of guys in that locker room that were unhappy with the way things sort of unraveled. And, you know, as far as the Hunter Yurecek question goes, I look at it this way. Every hire, his job's on the line. We won't get a return on this for probably 3 years. So, you know, is his job on the line today? I don't know. I think the Musselman hire is working out pretty well. They're 8-1. The football thing, you know, football is probably the most visible of all the sports. You know, your basketball team can go 26-4. Nobody really cares. Football team goes 2-10. It's a problem because it's incredibly visible. Exactly. Every game's on TV. It's the highest profile and biggest revenue sport, and you got to get it right. And when you draw 26,000 fans for a game, a home game, it looks terrible on TV. So Sam Pittman's got a heck of a job in front of him. There's no magic bullet that's going to fix this. He's just got to go to work and get, you know, first thing he's got to do is get players, get his staff in place, and then, you know, sort of roll from there. Next year's going to be bumpy. That schedule is brutal, especially the first 8 games. If they can get through it, get a couple of wins. You know, the big thing is now just get an SEC win. Win a game. That's pretty much all anybody's asking at this point. And it'll be interesting to watch him this spring and what sort of route he goes. Is he going to go transfer portal? Is he going to go young guys? It'll be real, real interesting to see what they do with him.
Thanks for your time, bud.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
All right. Here on K-Country 95. We'll be right back. Now, we don't want to forget that Missouri did go after Eli Drinkwitz, and they did get him. Eli Drinkwitz is out of the Sun Belt. He's pretty good. But in that press conference, in his opening press conference, listen to this. He said something really embarrassing.
But it's to win the right way. And our goal, our stated goal, is going to be to win the Sun Belt, to win the SEC East.
Drinkwitz had just won the Sun Belt with Appalachian State in his 2019 season with Appalachian State. Congratulations to Missouri on a great coaching hire. And congratulations to the Razorbacks. I think after not getting Lane Kiffin, I think that Hunter Yurecek did do a great job of going out and getting, I mean, the best coach he probably could get while there was nobody else on the market. I bet Auburn fans about right now are about ready to kill Gus Malzahn after the loss in the bowl game to Minnesota, but he's there to stay. Auburn fans are going to have to stick with Malzahn for a few more years after beating Alabama, which has been what Auburn fans have said, hey, this is what we want to do. That's what he did. He got a contract extension, and now he's going to stay there for a while, so Auburn fans are just going to have to stay with Coach Malzahn for a while, which Coach Malzahn did come from a Sun Belt team as well as Drinkwitz. Gus Malzahn came from Arkansas State University, went to Auburn, and now is, I would consider, winning at Auburn. I mean, I don't know what else you would call that. Beats Alabama, the SEC powerhouse Bama, and then you go to your bowl game, which is a New Year's Six. I mean, you do get beat by Minnesota, but that's number 6 Minnesota, which was highest ranked, or number 6 was their highest ranking in the college football playoff poll, which, I mean, it's pretty impressive to me. Auburn fans are just going to have to stay with him for a little bit longer. Now, up next, we're going to talk about LSU and the college football playoff. LSU just might as well go ahead and call it a murder. 63-28, LSU tromps, go on 14-0 on the season. Oklahoma takes their second loss of the season to end their season. And LSU, you know, is kind of peaking at the right time. Burrow wrote his name in the record book so much Saturday that it basically looks like an encyclopedia, but the LSU team is much more than its superstar quarterback. The Tigers' defense, I mean, is outstanding. They choked the Sooners, and then the front seven owned the line of scrimmage against that very solid Oklahoma offensive line. They sacked Hurts twice and made it extremely difficult for the Sooners' rushing attack led by Kennedy Brooks to get going, and held the Sooner to 5 of 13 third down opportunities. That, you can't get better than that. I mean, yes, you could go 4 of 13, whatever you want to call it, or 4 of 14, but still, that pass rush that LSU has, the offensive line that, and Oklahoma, like I mentioned, they have a very, very, very impressive offensive line. One of the best in the nation, and LSU found a way to get around it. And then that, I mean, you've seen Alabama, you've seen Auburn, you've seen those teams, you beat them pretty well, and now you go into this college football playoff, great teams adjust like LSU did Saturday. That's basically what I was trying to say. I mean, the Tigers had to find a way to provide another outlet for Burrow if Oklahoma loaded up on the back, and they did. The Sooners didn't do a very good job of slowing them down, but LSU did throw quite a few different looks underneath to make it up for the absence of their wide receiver, Edwards-Helaire, and that was their receiver in the backfield, and their tight end caught for 99 yards and a touchdown. So, I mean, I don't know what else you could say to that. LSU gets the win, 63-28. Oklahoma's defense was basically a fraud. But the win meant so much more to LSU against Oklahoma. I can't remember if it was the night before or the morning before the game, the college football game. The offensive coordinator for LSU's daughter-in-law passed away in that terrible plane accident in Hawaii. So LSU had a lot more to play for. And, I mean, that is terrible about that offensive coordinator's daughter-in-law. I mean, that is awful. LSU knew that they had to do something. And the offensive coordinator did go ahead and fight through the tears and play the game, which I think was amazing. It was just a bigger win for LSU than Oklahoma in that game. And now we talk about the Clemson Tigers and the Ohio State Buckeyes. Ohio State finishes 13-1 on the season, with their only loss being that 29-23 loss to Clemson in the college football playoff there in the Fiesta Bowl, I'm pretty sure is what it was. It was the Fiesta Bowl. And Clemson trailed at halftime, and Clemson trailed back. And the thing is that Clemson's experience mattered in that game. Clemson's quarterback has hours behind in the pocket, and Ohio State jumped to that 16-0 lead. It was not unreasonable to believe a lot of teams would have faltered, I guess you could say. I mean, the stakes, Arkansas would have lost that game. Missouri would have lost that game. A bunch of teams in the SEC right now would have lost that game. Clemson, they just took on the task of being down 16-0 at halftime, took that task on, and I mean, they won the task. Lawrence is something else, too. I mean, Lawrence's experience behind that pocket, he completed only 54.5% of his passes for 7.8 yards per attempt. But, I mean, those season numbers for him are 68.8% for 9.4 yards. And that's nuts for Lawrence. I mean, you won't find a quarterback in. You will find a quarterback in the SEC. Let me rephrase that. But you won't find it in any other Power 5 conference other than Trevor Lawrence for Clemson and maybe Tua for Alabama and maybe Bo Nix for Auburn. But, I mean, and Ohio State fans are really going to say that they want to blame the refs for this loss. That targeting call, I mean, I'm sitting here watching the replay. That is textbook targeting. If there isn't targeting, or if this is not a targeting call, what is targeting? Targeting, I personally think, is just a little bit too much in the college realm today. But I do think, in all seriousness, that this was targeting. I mean, I don't think it. I know it. It was textbook targeting there for Ohio State. And, I mean, it was legitimate. It was textbook. I don't know how Ohio State fans are saying that this was not targeting. It was to the head or neck area, and that's what it was. And Ohio State fans also want to talk about that incomplete pass or incomplete catch, whatever you want to call it. It was an incomplete pass. Yes, he did have 2 feet on the ground, but he never had possession there of the football. And I think that now college football, they go back, talk to somebody in New York, they review the play. So the refs confirm it on the field that it was not an incomplete. Well, I take that back. Yes, they did confirm on the field that it was a complete pass, and then they reviewed it. And somebody in I can't remember if it's New York or Birmingham, wherever the officials, whichever conference they were from, their officials took a look at it, wherever their home base is, headquarters, whatever you want to call it. And, I mean, they go over every camera angle. They have access to ESPN's angles. They have access of their own angles. They have access to, like, the students, or not the students, but like the schools that are there recording, that are live. They can take their camera angles and all that. And I mean, you don't even really need a camera angle for this pass. I mean, the one they had from ESPN was the one that perfectly caught it there, and he had the ball, two steps, correct, but he did drop the football, but he never had connection with the football with his hands. He never fully had it in his hands for, again, Clemson wins that ball game, goes undefeated. It'll be the battle of the unbeaten 14-0 teams in the national championship. Again, Clemson defeats Ohio State 29-23. But what a playoff that it really was. I mean, I enjoyed watching those games. It was pretty crazy to watch those two ball games. I was watching that Clemson one, and I turned it off thinking, oh, man, this is a blowout. And then I get a text from one of my friends, you better turn on the Clemson game. Clemson's fixing to win this ball game. So I got to watch Clemson get the win there in the final moments with the interception. And now that we're talking about playoffs, why don't we go ahead and talk about the NFL playoff coming up tonight and coming up tomorrow. Tonight it's Buffalo at Houston. Now Houston is just coming off that loss to Tennessee last week, which they should not have lost, but they did. Buffalo is at Houston. Houston has the home field advantage. Tennessee is at New England. I'm not biased. My brother is a New England fan. I'm not trying to just tick some people off, but New England is going to lose that game to Tennessee, I'm almost certain, in my opinion. I've been wrong before. And now Sunday, Minnesota is at New Orleans, and Seattle is at Philadelphia. Minnesota, I think the Saints are probably going to do pretty good here. Saints have a good shot in the playoffs, and I think they'll personally do pretty well. Seattle is at Philadelphia. Seattle ought to move on in that round. Now, let's talk about the Chiefs here. The Chiefs, they probably have the best road to the playoffs here in the NFL. I mean, you can't disagree with it. They're either going to get New England or Tennessee at home. And yes, they did lose to Tennessee by 3 off of a field goal at Nashville, but they also did beat the Patriots in Foxborough. And I think that the Patriots are not as good as they were in their first 5 games. Patriots also lost to the Dolphins. I mean, if you're a Chiefs fan, of course you're going to know that. Lost to the Dolphins last week in New England. I mean, that just sealed off the win, or their playoff bye. I mean, that did. And Tennessee has their Red Hawk quarterback, Ryan Tannehill, went with the Dolphins, and then now he's with the Titans in Nashville, or they're going to play at New England. But I think that, yes, New England is going to have the crowd. Of course, it's a playoff game. It's an NFL game. Who is not going to pack a stadium for a playoff game or the NFL game, whatever you want to call it? They've got their quarterback. They benched, I can't remember who it was, benched their guy, and now they've got Ryan Tannehill, who is playing his primetime football right now. And Tennessee's got a point to prove. Not sure they'll prove it against the Chiefs if they do move on, but almost certain that they will beat New England Patriots. Which also, if you do want to get into NFL, I'm not even sure that Tom Brady will be with the team next year. There's reports coming out that his future is not promised with the Patriots, so we should see about that one. And yes, I do know that Baltimore is the best team in the NFL, quote-unquote, whatever you want to call it. Yes, they do have a good path to the playoffs, but they don't have the experience in the playoffs that the Saints do. I think the Saints, we want to talk about I think all day, but I feel like the Saints, they have Drew Brees, which passed a huge milestone in his career this year with the NFL and the Saints. I have no doubt that the Saints are going to be a great team here in the playoffs. But out of the three, if I had to choose three teams out of this playoff picture, which I felt had the best chance to win a Super Bowl title, I would say Baltimore, yes. I would, of course, pick the Saints. Like I just mentioned, Saints are playing some of their best football right now. And then I would also pick the Chiefs. Chiefs, like I mentioned, have a really easy path to the playoffs if they can get past this round coming up next weekend. But what's so crazy about this thing is that I've got family members who are Tennessee fans, and then I've got a brother who is a New England fan, and then I've also got cousins that are Kansas City fans, and I kind of want to see Kansas City win the whole thing. But we'll go ahead and cool things down from this NFL playoff picture and just see how things will end up. We will go to break and we will come back to wrap things up here on the first episode of The Cheap Seats. We'll be right back here on K-Country 95. I also want to throw this out there. Mississippi State is now in the search for a head coach. I mean, they just fired their head coach. This is the literal worst time to be looking for a coach, because either these good names like Kiffin, you could throw Pittman in there, you could throw Drinkwitz in there, you could throw some of these names in there. Mississippi State is going to have to fight hard to find a coach that is going to do them well in the SEC now, because, like I mentioned, all these coaches, like I mentioned, have been signed or these coaches have been given extensions. I mean, I would say Mississippi State's last chance to get a coach that is top-notch would have been Mike Norvell from Memphis, but Florida State's already inked with that guy. So, I mean, I don't know where you are going to go now if you're a Mississippi State fan after firing your coach. And I don't know if you should have fired Moorhead after this short of a season that he's had. And I mean, that's not a very classy firing either, but he sent out a statement. I think he put it on Twitter. It was a very classy statement said by Joe Moorhead after being fired by Mississippi State. And I mean, I've seen Moorhead in the interviews on TV. He seems like a classy guy. Seems like he knows what he's talking about. And there may be things behind the scene that fans don't see, but I just do not see why would they fire him this soon? And I mean, there was reason for firing Chad Morris at Arkansas. Yes, he went 2-10 in this last season, and then he went whatever this last season. And I just cannot believe that Mississippi State would fire this guy after that. So, I personally do not think that he probably should have been fired this early. But, I mean, Mississippi State fans do expect a lot more after Dan Mullen left for Florida, and he is now leading a power program over there in Gainesville. You kind of want to see a repeat of what he is doing with other teams now, and that was a big loss for Mississippi State, losing that guy. And now Ole Miss has Kiffin, Arkansas has Pittman, Florida State has Norvell from Memphis, and now where do you go, Mississippi State? We should see on that case. So if you are just joining us here for the Cheap Seats, you can catch the Cheap Seats from 8:20-ish to around 9 o'clock, and we will talk about breaking news and sports news. We'll talk about NFL, especially the Chiefs. We'll talk about MLB whenever it gets fired back up and breaking news from there. We'll talk about high school sports, college sports, about anything sports-related. It'll probably be on here that we will talk about. So you can join me next Saturday here, 8:20-ish, and we will go till 9 o'clock talking about things like we did today. I do want to mention that this will be on our award-winning website, ecomnewsnetwork.com. So if you're just joining us and want to hear about all we talked about, because we talked about a lot of things. We talked about Auburn fans not being with Gus Malzahn, not being happy with him. And then we also talked about Eli Drinkwitz at Missouri, Sam Pittman at Arkansas. We also talked to a member from ESPN Arkansas at and Fayetteville, and we also talked about the college football playoff and the NFL playoffs coming up tonight and tomorrow. So if you would like to listen to that, you can go to our award-winning website, ecomnewsnetwork.com. So just recapping for today, we talked about the Chiefs and how they probably have the best road to the playoffs. We talked about Auburn fans not being happy with Gus Malzahn. We talked about the NFL playoff. We talked about the Clemson Tigers and the Ohio State Buckeyes. We talked about the LSU Tigers, and we talked about the Oklahoma Sooners game. And now it is the battle of the unbeaten, in the national championship coming up next Monday. Not this coming Monday, but the next. And but like I mentioned, the Kansas City Chiefs probably have the best way to the playoffs. And we also talked about the Razorbacks and Mizzou's new coaching hires. So there was a lot to talk about in today's show, and just makes it all the more interesting, I guess you could say. And we want to thank Zach Arnes from ESPN Arkansas. You can hear their show, Ruskin and Zach, on ESPN Arkansas. I'm Hayden Savage for the Ecom Sports Network, ESN, and the Cheap Seats. Have a good day, and go watch you some football.